Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring! You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation on FUBAR Radio. We are hurtling towards May. The year is disappearing. We've got a cracking show for you this week. We've got the brilliant Kate Barron in the studio. She will be my co-host today. We have a mystery guest known by a better name, but for now I shall just tease him as Michael Van Erp. Very famous online, very controversial. We'll be talking to him later in the show. And then we'll have Esther Manito joining us as well. Esther's going out on tour. She's going to talk to us all about that and just life in general. Have a little catch up. It's going to be a good time. Thank you for joining us. And we'll start every week, as we do, with some news. Obviously, the main news at the moment is the London Marathon, of course, just the week just gone. We had the London Marathon, and my friend actually ran the marathon, 3 hours 20. Yeah. It's the longest they went without talking about it, so fair play to them. I was thinking, watching the marathon, it's weird that we don't see rhinos anymore. It used to be, every year, there was somebody running dressed as a rhino. What happened? I'll talk to Kate about this in a minute so I don't seem crazy, but there used to be a massive push for like the protection of rhinos. Either we succeeded and they're all safe now, or we've all just stopped giving a fuck. Like, what has happened? Maybe it's like Big Panda has pushed out the rhino agenda, but I don't see enough people running as rhinos, enough sort of rhino charity pushes at the moment. I'd love to explore that. Maybe we can get into the depths of a conspiracy theory. Maybe we can sort of explore that over several weeks. This caught my eye as well as a news story. There was a pub in Manchester who has come under fire for secretly hosting a neo-Nazi birthday party for Adolf Hitler. Yeah, this is... Now, the pub say they didn't know what was going on, but this neo-Nazi group in the UK sort of arrived and they had bunting and party hats. And I shit you not. They'd made a cake and they'd made like a little fondant swastika for the cake, which is obviously, it's horrible, you know, Nazism, you know, here's a hot take for you, Nazism, bad. But it is very sweet and hilarious to imagine a little Nazi baker cutting up the fondant slices for their swastika. Like, oh no, I've not done the edges straight enough. I've got to redo that. Oh, the boys down the club will never accept this as a cake. So yeah, I just thought that was a ridiculous idea. Just have this little Nazi party in this pub. Of course, what's some Nazi party music? SS Club 7, you're welcome. Reich, climb every mountain. Come on, that's some good stuff. This also caught my eye. Speaking of just, we just got very bizarre news this week. And there was also some like monumental news about power cuts in Spain and elections, whatever. But I'm focusing on the bizarre news. And this was the world's first sperm race hosted in LA. So these two students of age, 20 and 19, in Southern California at the University of Southern California, took place in a sperm race where they'd donate their spermatozoa and then under a microscope they'd see how they competed along a track to get to the finish line first. This was reported with no irony, no comedy, no one's picked up on this. I can't believe this. The winner was a man named Tristan Milker. Tristan Milker. He won the sperm race. Tristan Milker won the sperm race. How has nobody seen this? Daily Mail, of course it's the Daily Mail, it's a Daily Mail exclusive. how have they just so earnestly reported this? Of course, there was controversy in the sperm race as an egg did try to enter, but of course, because of the new gender rulings, they weren't allowed to compete in the sport. I don't know how that comes across. That was meant to be sort of pro-trans cheekiness, but it's so easy to accidentally slip into people like, yeah, you are finally putting it... Putting it to the man. That was not how it was intended. And then finally, the M&S down at the moment. M&S have suffered a cyber attack. Online orders have been paused. Urgency workers have been sent home because they cannot get their mainframe up and running. And apparently it is a cyber attack linked to teenage hackers called Scattered Spider. Now, this is not just... if these are really teenage hackers, this is not just cybercrime. This is generational warfare, right? Because the teenagers know that if you're hacking into M&S, you're going after the 40, 50, 60-year-olds. This is the start, I think, of the generational war. I don't know where the world is heading. We're going in all sorts of different directions. I'd love to hear from some sanity, some anger, some anything. I don't know what your thoughts are this week, but it's my brilliant co-host, Kate Barron. Hello.
Hi.
There's a lot going on in the world.
There's so much going on in the world. Firstly, I will not accept M&S slander. That's for 40, 50, 60-year-olds. Shut your damn mouth on that. M&S is amazing.
It is great.
Like,
it's good quality.
If I had to choose one store, it has everything. It literally has everything you could need. Amazing food, good quality prices. Maybe I am getting older. Fuck. But I love it.
I as much as I mock the sort of age difference between M&S and teenagers, it is great stuff. Oh, we got an M&S food hall and a Lidl. There are two nearest supermarkets.
Oh, those are my two favorite.
Yeah, they're great. But I will say, if I'm having a bad mental health day, I have to pay extra and go to M&S.
Yeah.
I can't face the chaos of Lidl if I'm in a bad place.
Fighting people at the little like fresh baked goods area in Lidl makes me want to just fucking off myself. I can't do it.
What's your favorite M&S product? Is there anything that's like, oh,
I mean, I love Colin the Caterpillar.
Yeah.
I love like classic Percy Pigs. I love, because we don't have those in Canada. So I love that kind of stuff. Whenever I go back to Canada, like my suitcase is filled with all that kind of shit as well. So I have to take it back to my whole family there. But I just like literally all of it. I love all of it. All their pre-done meals, everything. Yeah. It's great. They're also cookies. Oh, they're fucking cookies.
The bakery
are so good.
Is great. Oh, the bakery is so good. And the other thing they do is they do half loaves of bread. It's good quality bread.
Yeah.
Also, half loaves. I don't eat enough bread to get through a whole bread loaf in the like allotted time. So that is the perfect size. It's perfect price.
This is
an M&S for advert now. Yeah. Guys, go shop at M&S. I mean, you can't because they're currently down at the moment because he's hacking.
But this is like alarmed me. But I also the hippo thing. Oh no, rhinos running the marathon.
Yeah, sorry. Are you with me?
So people would dress up as rhinos. I've seen people like someone was dressed up as Big Ben and stuff running, and there's people who dress up in costumes at like marathons and stuff, but it was always rhinos in it
every year. I'm just gonna look for a nod from the producer booth. Did you see the rhinos running the marathon? Is this a thing that's in the public consciousness? One says yes, one says no.
I don't know.
I want to know, does the Irish one say yes or no? Okay, interesting. I wonder whether that was a cultural thing then. Maybe, I'm completely...
Are you sure they're like nodding your head?
Lani said yes. Okay, good.
They're real.
Thank you. Also, I'm so sorry. How horribly racist of me to be like, what does the Irish one say? Apologies, Kieran. So you've never seen these rhinos? People dressed as rhinos.
Also, dressing up to take part in a marathon as if a marathon isn't fucking awful and hard enough already.
I know, I don't know why they do
it. Did you also see there was the man who was running, this is sad, but the man who was running with a photo of his daughter who passed away a couple of years ago, and he was crying and everyone was crying. Oh my God, it was so emotional.
Honestly, the marathon, I can't watch it now, I don't have a TV license, but when I was living...
Does that stop you from watching TV? Whoops.
It stops me watching from live BBC. Oh, here we go, thank you. Yeah, let's see, here we go. This is on the screen now. We can see these men dressed as rhinos. Or women, sorry.
There's no women doing that. Those are fucking incel men. I know that for a fact.
Incel men who love rhinos. You'd see a rhino running the marathon. And I just... Either it's still happening and it's just not getting the attention it once got, or it's dropped off.
Different people? Or was this like... Was this one guy in a rhino costume?
I think these are all different people. I'm sure this isn't one rhino man. If it is one rhino man, by the way, can we please get him into the studio? Yeah. Let's get him as a future guest. But yeah, but there used to be not just the rhino man running a marathon. There used to be like TV adverts for like Save the Rhinos and stuff.
It's all
just gone. It's all pandas
now. Pandas are cuter because then they blob around and like roll down the hill and everything. I just think they're like...
Yeah, it's funny.
Their image is better. They have better marketing.
The panda's sneezing. You never see a rhino sneezing.
Oh, I know. The panda sneezing. Yeah. I love pandas.
Well, there you go. The rhinos, if you want to get saved as a species...
Sorry.
Just do some sneezing, and then us humans will deign it worthy of saving you. You're welcome. How have you been, Kate? What have you been up to?
I'm good. Well, I'm just coming off getting a lot of texts from my friends back in Canada. Mm-hmm. Very excited about the election because we have Mark Carney securing the seat as the PM for the Liberal Party, which is very good. Donald Trump had no idea he played such a big hand in the election because he supported the dirtbag conservative Pierre Poilievre, and everyone went, oh, wait, you want him? And he was all like pro-Elon, pro-Trump, all of that. And they sort of tried to like cut those ties, but they didn't work. And so everyone just voted for the right guy. We're very excited. And Mark Carney like wants Trump to go fuck himself. So it's great. I love it.
I am living for the sort of Canadian dissent against US, the booing of the national anthem, all that. So I don't know if you saw when it was first sort of like starting to unravel. I mean, I said first, when it was recently starting to unravel with Trump, the organizers of a peewee hockey game were like, please don't boo the national anthem. They're only 12 years old. And the Canadians were like, no, fuck you.
Fuck them. Fuck them. But like, honestly, like, it's so crazy. I grew up 10 minutes from the U.S. border. Mm. So down there, all the time. Like, my parents would go down, fill up on petrol, get groceries, because everything's cheaper in the States than it is in Canada.
Right.
So they'd literally just fast pass back and forth, and Canadians went down there all the time. And then Americans are just like, oh, fuck you, whatever. And there's this whole thing about Canadians being so nice. Firstly, I'm a cunt. I'm not nice. But, like, obviously, you know that. But, like, there's all this thing about Canadians are nice. I don't think we're nice. I think we're kind. So we do kind things. We don't need to love you while we do it, but we do it. Whereas America is nice. It's so fake. They're like, oh, my God, how y'all doing? How you doing today? Bang, 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 shoot you in the head. Like, they don't give a fuck. It's all fake nicety, and none of it's real. Like, oh, we love you. God bless. Oh, would we support you, give you health care, give you... No. Go fuck yourself there. So,
Is, I've never heard it expressed like that. That's such the perfect encapsulation.
Yeah.
Kind versus nice is so different, and Americans are nice, but it's like a sort of like HOA, like smiling, like, oh, you can't actually have that there.
And then
like,
stabbing you in the back. Because kindness is actions and niceness is words.
There we go. Look at this. We're expecting wisdom. Tuesday, 2:10 p.m. We're absolutely dropping truth bombs here. That's fascinating. My only reference, I was going to reference a musical. Are you a musicals person?
Do
you
like yes, obviously.
In Into the Woods, the witch is singing.
Oh, wait, I haven't seen that one.
There's a lyric where she's going, you're not good, you're not great, you're just nice. And it's just like such a sort of takedown of like, niceness is nothing.
It is nothing.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Also, Pierre, I noticed the name Pierre. Is he Quebecois?
Yeah.
So I also noticed a thread of Quebecois hate across Canada. Is that true for you?
Well, okay. Let's just say they started it first. They've talked about separating from Canada and creating their own little country or whatever. But it's just this whole, like, they get lots of support from the government and they get lots of like, you like, I have friends who moved to Quebec because you get tax breaks, you get different things, which is great for them.
Yeah.
But they get things that other people in other parts of the other provinces and other parts of the country don't get access to. So there's this sort of like push pull, and it's like 90% of the country is not that, and or I don't know the exact thing, but like they just make it very difficult. You know, it's just like the same reason the British people hate French people. Like, they're a hard bunch to love.
Right, yes, yeah.
And the French Canadians are that much harder to love. Not that I don't love them. Don't cancel me, French Canada. But they don't. They would fucking hate me anyway. So
they don't have that same Canadian kindness, perhaps.
Yeah, they just have a bit of a...
Well, what a beautiful note to end on now. which will send us into our break. We'll be back afterwards with Michael Van Erp. You excited to talk to this man?
I am like nervous, excited, mad. I don't know what I am.
Well, we'll be joining Michael in just a moment after this break.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. I'm here with my brilliant co-host Kate Barron in the studio. And down the line, a legend, an icon, a controversial figure. Hello, Cycling Mikey. How are you?
Good afternoon, everybody. How are you all?
Pretty good, thank you. Enjoying the warmth, a lovely day to perhaps go out on a bike ride. What are you up to? Where are you calling us from right now?
So I'm just working from home at the moment, but I should be going out for a bike ride with my boss's son. You may have seen him on social media. There was this absolutely amazing video of the King's Guard stepping closer to us for a photo.
Oh, interesting. Oh. Yes. So the King's Guard are having photos with you. That's how iconic you've become at this point.
No, it's nothing to do with me, actually. That particular video was all about my boss's son who has Down syndrome.
Oh, I see. That is heartwarming. A nice story, perhaps an antidote to some of the controversial hate you might get. So this, for those of you that don't know, is Cycling Mikey, a social media star who rides around on your bike. You've got a GoPro on your helmet, filming, just going about your daily life. And as is the way in London, there are people driving, perhaps not to the standards, perhaps against the law on their phones. You'll report them and post those videos. Now, Kate, were you aware of Cycling Mikey before I sent you all the info?
I wasn't. I just became aware. And I am torn, to be honest, completely about you. Part of me thinks you're an absolute fucking prick. And part of me thinks you're actually doing something good. So I'm like, I don't really know how to feel about this because I'm just like learning it and I'm watching all the comments. And my God, you get almost as much hate as a female comedian. I'll tell you that. You get some hate. So I don't like, how do you even deal with all the hate? You look like you sort of don't give a shit at all. Does it affect you?
It definitely affected me in the beginning, like almost 20 years ago. But now I've just grown like quite a tough shell. A lot of the people giving hate are people with the sort of emotional maturity of a toddler. So why would I care very much about what they said about me?
Fair enough. That's a good attitude to have. That's a nice sort of resilient mindset. You say 20 years ago then, and that's like the advent of YouTube. Are you like ground floor putting stuff out online?
Well, not really, because I was pretty much a nobody. I'm still a nobody, to be honest, but an unknown nobody until about 2019, where the first sort of viral videos came about. And in the beginning, it started just because I wanted to keep myself safe. I was really shocked at how I was treated. I grew up in Zimbabwe, but my family are from the Netherlands, so cycling is a pretty normal and unhated activity over there.
Yeah, yeah. There is a weird sort of Britain has such a cycling culture, and like, you know, men getting up in Lycra and going through the country lines and stuff. But then I've never seen that culture as paired with the same sort of equal or even greater culture of hating that thing. Like, I don't see that sort of internal division in many other countries about anything else, really.
I will say, as somebody who is like relatively new to this country, I've been here for 6 years now, that my most close calls or worst sort of traffic almost incidents have been with cyclists, been all with cyclists, just like not stopping at a zebra crossing, just zooming through, jumping up on a curb, going over a sidewalk, going through and all of that. So it's also so funny that like it's constantly cars get after it, which obviously there's cars that do bad things, but I see so many cyclists behave so poorly, and then they're just flipping people off and like don't give a shit, and it's up to us to sort of like beware of that. But if I collided with like a bike, that, I mean, it's not like being hit by a car, but it's not great either.
Yeah, it could be really bad. Yeah,
yeah, it could be really, really bad. What's your take on that? What's your take on like other bikes out there?
You're so right, Kate. I completely agree.
No, don't agree with me. I don't want to have the same opinion as Cycling Mikey.
So, in fact, we're all human beings, and we all follow that bell curve of some of us are really terrible people.
Yeah.
Most of us are average and break some laws, and some of us are really, really good people.
That's true. Yeah.
So, but the difference is that on a bike, you have skin in the game. And there are several studies, one in the US and one in Denmark, that show that cyclists as groups of people are a little bit more law-abiding than drivers. I know, that's kind of shocking, isn't it?
Interesting, yeah, a little bit
more. I think
more.
It comes about because when we're driving, we're in a car, we're protected by a metal cage, by seat belts, by airbags and so on, and crumple zones. And as a result, you adjust your own personal safety to that, which means that you're a little bit less safe to people outside of the car.
Can I ask a question? Because so I've seen some of your videos now. So you're very combative in the videos, and you come across quite like sometimes pretty like just very rudely to them. And I get you're trying to, you believe you're doing this good thing or whatever. But like, do you think you're doing that? Like it hurts more of what you're doing? Do you think if you were sort of taking a nicer approach, or are you just thinking like, I don't care, I don't need to be nice because what I'm doing is right?
So I'm surprised to hear you say that, actually, because I think I'm just being very matter-of-fact and calm, and most people call me really calm and non-combative.
Okay.
At least that's what my opinion has been. But I am pretty straight. There's not much time on the road for fooling around, for beating around the bush, and I'm Dutch, so I'm quite direct, which is very different to English people, usually. So I'm just going to be completely straight with people.
But interesting, because you emailed the radio show, right, to ask how combative this interview was going to be, to prepare yourself. So it strikes me as somebody, just even knowing that you're preparing to go into a fight. And so I bet you're not, there's multiple studies done as well about people not being as self-aware as they like to believe they are. So I bet you're not perceiving yourself as combative as you are.
Maybe there's some element of truth to that, but enough people have told me the opposite that I suspect it's probably not true.
But we live within an echo chamber.
It's not really for me to judge, is it?
No. Yeah, that's fair enough. It's interesting. I know it started off because your father was in an accident, right? And that's sort of where you, or what I've heard online. Is that true?
So that's not my only driver. It's the sort of thing that gets me through the boring admin of reporting roughly a driver a day.
Right. A driver a day. Wow.
It's not even very much. I mean, if I made an effort, I could catch 10, 50, even 50 drivers a day without trying very hard.
Wow.
If I spent a day out there doing that. I could probably catch quite a lot of cyclists too. But of course, I'm just an ordinary member of the public. I have no power to do anything about a cyclist.
Yeah. What happens with cyclists? Do we like, or like guys on like the mopeds who are stealing the phones and all that? Or what about, are you going after them or trying to catch those guys or?
Funnily enough, some guys on one of those illegally modified electric motorcycle/bicycle things stole a phone off a lime bike rider coming past me on Sunday night.
And did you catch them on video? And
caught it on video. I passed it on to the police, but there's nothing I can do as an ordinary member of the public.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you're out there trying your best in most aspects. Yeah, I suppose it's hard as well. I suppose there's another argument, like when people are saying, oh, you know, cyclists are just as bad, is because like there's not a license plate, there's not as sort of much accountability.
There's another point as well, in that basically the police do police cyclists, bad cycling, and that's quite right that they do. I'm totally happy with it. Mm-hmm. But they don't do it very much. And because a lot of policing is evidence-led, they look at who's causing the deaths and injuries. And if you were to make all cyclists perfect, deaths and injuries would be hardly affected in any measurable way. Whereas if you made all drivers perfect, we'd lose almost all the deaths and injuries on our roads.
Well, there, that's a pretty mm-hmm. a pretty damning stat. On a lighter note, we've had lots of death and confrontation. What's the sort of nicest interaction you've had out there on the streets? Is there a day that sticks in your mind as like, oh, that was really lovely, and everyone was really nice to me, and it all worked out quite well?
I've become more and more known. So lately, I get lots of people coming up for selfies, which I find incredibly strange. Who wants to see this old man who's riding his bike? But I'm very flattered by it. I'm still not really very used to it.
Do you wear the full kit, like the full like spandex, like shorts and all that kind of stuff?
So years ago, when I was much younger and fitter, and I did a lot of speed skating on roller skates, I then would cycle with Lycra, but that's because I was riding like a 45-mile round-trip commute, and I was riding very fast. Nowadays, I'm very stereotypically Dutch. I ride in jeans and a jacket, and I ride in big upright Dutch bike. So I'm totally non-Lycra helmeted cyclist.
Okay, cool. Okay. That's all right then. We can accept that.
The outfit is one of the most offensive parts about cycling.
It's egregious.
Say that.
Yeah, yeah. although you say you're ordinary, just normal old man riding his bike. But you have an interesting job. Kate spotted this on your Wikipedia.
Yeah, it says you're a roller skating instructor on your Wikipedia.
But I don't really do that anymore. I still teach my boss's son. So my boss, I met my boss via teaching skating to her son who has Down syndrome. And that was a good sort of 11, 12 years ago now nearly. And he's a fantastic young man. If anyone wants to see him in the video with the Kingsguard, just search up for Kingsguard steps next to autistic boy. They got it all wrong, as so often on social media. None of the facts are actually facts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then I've just started doing more and more stuff with the family. They're a super family.
That's amazing.
And what do you do during the day? So you have a day job. What's your day job? Obviously, you can't tell us like exactly where you work, but...
No. So working for this family is my day job.
Oh,
so I do
quite
a lot of stuff from home, admin type stuff, some support for his sisters, like in IT and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
gotcha. It's completely random.
Gotcha.
Lovely. Well, also, I suppose there must be some income from social media as well. Our jobs are getting pushed more and more towards social media. Mm-hmm. We're sort of, you know, asked to do TikToks and everything like that. Are you a rich man off of YouTube and TikTok, or is it a bit more humble in terms of that kind of income?
It's fairly humble. I still have to have my job, and I wouldn't give up my job with Ibrahim anyway, because he's such a fantastic young man.
Yeah,
I can't believe what a positive opinion he has of me. He's always telling everybody about Uncle Mike, as he calls me.
That must be to have a sweet sort of pure counteraction to all the comments you get online. Well, yeah, all these people coming in, and you just got one person there, sort of counteracting all of that. That's lovely.
And then, so the videos, like, they make money, and you're making money from them. So I guess if your whole thing is like to make the streets safer and all that, are you donating money to any charities that prevent, say, like drunk driving or anything like that?
Not so much, no. I am keeping the money from the income, which I think is reasonable. I mean, I'm putting myself out there. I'm putting myself at risk from somebody who's angry and potentially violent. Mm-hmm. And I am just editing a video where a BMW driver drove at me.
Oh, my goodness.
Drove at you?
Yeah, he just tried to swerve in and close the gap on me.
And so what would that be like? Attempted something like assault or something like that?
Yeah.
So that kind of thing doesn't really get treated by the police much at all. It's considered very minor. There's a professor in, I think it's the University of Bristol, Dr. Ian Walker, and he's done a good study on motor normativity, which is basically how all of us in society look at car crime as being very minor. And that's probably where some of this Mikey is a grass and snitch and serious enough to report comes from.
Well, yeah. I mean, it comes because a snitch means someone who tells on other people. So that is what you are. But like, so if you're going to be a snitch, then you got to wear it with pride, right? You know what I mean? Like, it is.
My response to that usually is if you use that kind of language, you're either a child in school or a criminal. Which is a little unfair.
I'm neither, and I think you're a snitch. So you've seen.
If you're a good citizen, then I
am a good citizen. They wouldn't let me be here if I wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah, you've had to prove yourself.
Do you get flack from people who are pushed back because they're like, well, you're not from here originally or whatever, and like you're doing all this stuff? Yeah, right.
There's all that xenophobia that you've probably encountered.
Yeah, less so. But like that's really interesting, all of that. And like, I guess, okay, so you're on the road all the time, you're catching people all the time. Tell us, who's a worse driver, men or women?
By far, men.
Yeah, I know the answer. I fucking knew the answer before. I didn't even need to ask you.
So I grew up in Zimbabwe, and I learned to drive in Zimbabwe, and that society is probably somewhat behind the UK in terms of chauvinism. Mm. But of course, I grew up with the idea that men were better drivers, and I was so wrong, as was the whole of that society. So I catch about 4 men for every 1 woman. And I think
why don't you just let the women go? We're already dealing with so much shit. Just like give us a fucking break.
We're already dealing with a lot from us.
We have to deal with so much from you guys. Like just give the ladies a break. It's our pink tax. We pay extra on everything.
At least on International Women's Day, don't report.
Exactly.
So my view is it doesn't really matter how nice or nasty a driver is, whether they're men or women or poor or rich or famous or not famous. In the end, they're all still doing something that I would think is probably dangerous to society. So I just report everybody.
I actually heard that. So there was apparently some study done at like Yale or something that basically said women get in a higher volume of accidents, but they're at lower speeds. It's often just a single car impacted and it's very mild, whereas men get fewer accidents, but they're more often result in fatalities or greater damage and more injuries and things like that. So like... Yeah. That's the thing. But obviously, if men are killing more people, that's probably worse.
Yeah, yeah, it's more dangerous, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a fender bender is probably, it's just some money. It's not too serious. It's where, what I'm more concerned about is the serious injuries, the maimings, the deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you catching, like, bus drivers and stuff?
Sorry?
Bus drivers, are you getting them on their phone? Like, I saw the ones where you were getting, there was ambulance drivers, There was, and I guess 2 questions. Like, what are you getting, like, public service vehicles like that, like a bus driver? And then also, when you walk in or send this stuff into the cops, are they like, hey, it's Mikey? Are they like, this fucking guy, get a hobby, Jesus Christ. Like, because I don't know what their reaction would be.
So, London bus drivers, TfL bus drivers at least, are really a cut above the average bus driver, in my opinion. I've almost never catch them doing anything wrong.
That's good.
Private coach drivers, I think, can be more problematic. I don't really know, though, because I don't catch any bus driver very often.
Right. Your bike probably is too low as well, right? Yeah. It's too low for the big coach drivers and stuff like that. Don't they set up by high?
You'd be surprised, actually. I can see very well, even into HGVs.
Okay.
And of course, a big lorry, that's a huge worry, because the traffic of, they make up 5% of London's traffic, but they're involved in 50% of fatal collisions in London.
Wow.
There you go. No one is safe. Don't think you are high, literally above the law or above Mikey. You keep your eyes peeled and keep your eyes on the road.
Stay away from me, Mikey. I don't want it. Get away from me. If you ever see me coming, just let me go. I'm struggling with enough. I'm a woman.
I just want to finish on 2 things. I would love to come back to what Kate said about what's the police reaction to your efforts.
That's a good one. So it's hard to know because I'm only deal with them online. I almost never see them via phone or in person. And it's the civilian team mostly in the Met that deal with these traffic allegations. But my impression from many of them is that they really believe in the necessity for traffic policing and catching offenders. So I think they're on side generally.
Great. And on a final positive note, to send us off into this lovely spring day, what is where's the best place to cycle around London? If we wanted to go on an afternoon jaunt together, get a tandem bike, where would you send us around? Yeah, I'd love that for us.
Yeah.
I'd say go in Hyde Park and go on the cycle routes and don't have to interact with any drivers. Hyde Park and Kensington Gardens is one of the most beautiful places in central London.
Love that.
There you go. Thank you so much, Mikey. We really appreciate you joining us.
Lovely to see you.
Bye-bye. Cheers, take care. Bye-bye. I never see you.
There we go, cycling Mikey. Right, we're going to head into a break. Our next fantastic guest, Esther Manito, is downstairs. We can debrief with her and see what she thinks about Mikey and his endeavours. Meanwhile, enjoy this brief commercial interruption.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Pulse of the Nation on FUBAR Radio. Our lovely guest Esmenito is just coming up the stairs at the moment. We had a bit of a directional mishap, so hopefully she'll join us in any moment, walk through that door. What were your thoughts? Now he's out of the Zoom room. What were your thoughts on cycling, Mikey?
I don't know. I'm so torn. Like, I get why he's trying to do it. He kept dropping that. He's like, takes care of a kid with Down syndrome, and he's with the Down syndrome kid, and da-da-da-da-da. We get it. Fucking relax. You can tell that that's his, like, one noble thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he hangs his hat on that, and he's like, this is why I'm such a fucking prick the rest of the time. But also, like, I do get what he's doing, mm-hmm. but he admittedly, like, doesn't go after cyclists, right? And, like, what I didn't get to ask him, I saw a video of him running a red light, and then he's like, hands up, I'm in it. But, like, did you report yourself? Did you accept a ticket, all that? And he doesn't, like, the motorcycles as well. It's, like, the same type of thing. So, I don't, like, I get why he's doing it, but also, like, get a fucking hobby and just get fucked by someone and relax. You know what I mean? Also, part of me is just like, this is a guy who hasn't been fucked in a bit.
Yeah, that is, I think, a beautiful summation. Also, our lovely guest just minutes has walked in. I do not have to brief her that this is uncensored, because that has pretty much put to pay any worries you might have had, Esther, about saying the wrong thing. Hello, we're live on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, I'm gorgeous.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for coming
nice
in.
To see you. No, thanks for having me.
We were just talking to, are you aware of Cycling Mikey?
No.
He's the man who films himself cycling around with a GoPro on his helmet and reports drivers on their phone and stuff.
Like, if they're at a red light or something, he'll go up, put a camera, like, has their camera in the face and be like, I'm going to get you, like, 6 points on your license and, like, send this to the police and get some fine and stuff. And people are like, I'm going to kill myself. And he's like, I don't care.
And you're very, that's angered you.
No, well, yeah, I mean,
yes, is that yes. what I walked in
I think,
right,
firstly,
okay.
He's a white man doing it, so that angers me. No, I think he's just like a bit of a, you can tell he's so arrogant about it.
Right.
And like in the videos, and he's like, he just was here, and he's like, well, I don't really think I'm combative. But he emailed the radio show before to be like, how combative is this interview going to get? Is this going to be aggressive? Do I need to come, like, kind of prepared? I'm like, even to do that ahead of time, you know the kind of precedent you set.
So is he viral?
Yeah. He's caught Guy Ritchie. He's caught, like, celebrities.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a big deal.
See, this is the kind of stuff you got to do. This is
to get famous.
That would
yeah,
sell,
yeah.
That would sell tickets.
This is the thing. I know I should do something like this. I know. Fuck
but
me.
But what can I catch people doing?
Just diddling. Oh,
do you know diddling. There could be a lot of diddling.
Do you know how many times I walk by men with their dick in their hand pissing on the road?
Let's
I should be
that.
Like, oh, I've caught you, but then I'm a woman. Then I just kick the shit out of
you. You went so faux British.
I've caught you.
Red-handed.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah,
thanks.
Fantastic.
Correct. You're welcome.
Good. Well, there you go.
Great. You'll go viral. I'll stay poor.
Go follow at Esther Benito at _ Kate Barron for the diddling GoPro hot hit team.
Yeah.
Esther, thank you for coming in.
No, thank
you've
you
got
me.
A tour coming up. We're going on tour September to February with Slag Bomb. What a title.
I love it.
Brilliant.
You have the best titles for your show always.
Do I?
Yeah, I feel like you do.
Because
they're catchy. Some people try to be a little too, like, punny or a little too, like, wordplay, and you're like, oh, it's too long. But you always just have, like, good. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely smashing it.
Says what it does.
Yeah.
Tim.
Yeah. Slag Bomb, that is you.
Yeah. I love the description as well. I read this.
That's me, too. That's what I relate to.
Slag Bomb.
Are you jealous that you didn't get the Slag Bomb title first? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to name my next show, like, Fat Whore or something like that to, like, compete with you. I love it.
I've got the description here for your Slag Bomb tour starting in Norwich in September. She has a Lebanese father dealing with war, a mother dealing with cancer, two kids who permanently lost their PE kit, a husband who just wanted some birthday nookie, a sudden loss of hearing. It's all part of the messy, chaotic, and often hilarious journey of a right Slag Bomb.
A sudden loss of hearing? You? Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Got a hearing aid in, yeah.
This is new?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What's how
my
new
hearing?
Is it?
October.
How, in one ear or both?
No, one ear.
Oh my
one
gosh, and how much hearing is gone?
I don't know, you know. I haven't got a percentage. There's a hole in the eardrum.
I
can't hear from it. If I take my hearing aid out, everything's just very...
muted and like, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't...
That must be good in some green rooms, though, to be like,
yeah,
oh,
no
hello,
shit.
Old white comedian.
It's amazing.
Tell me about the good old days, buddy. Like, oh my God. Before the
it's
fucking...
great on the tube when you're coming back from gigs.
Oh, yeah.
And there's always girls who are just like... and you just take it out. Or blokes chanting football chants.
Oh, yeah. I hate... Because I do love football and I go to football. Chanting on the train.
That's
absolute
so straight
no-go.
Of you. That's gross.
I know,
you're
I
so
know.
Butch.
It's a little sort of like a role play I do at the weekends.
You cosplay as a straight guy.
Yeah.
I love that.
I can get quite aggro on the stands, actually.
Oh,
when I'm in the
that.
Stands enjoying the games, I can give the referees what for, if you know what I mean.
What
is remarkable to me, Esther, is you've joined us 2 days after running a bloody marathon.
Wait, you ran the London Marathon?
Manchester Marathon.
Oh, the Manchester Marathon.
Yeah. That sorry went down in your estimation. You're like, you ran the London Marathon. Oh, Manchester.
No.
Even though it's the same distance.
It's yeah. harder. It's up north. There was
a bar lady after I ran the London Manchester Marathon. I was getting a pint of beer, and she was like, "So you ran from London to Manchester?" And I went, "No." And she was just like, "Oh, so what? It's just round Manchester." And I was like,
"The marathon."
Oh wow, you've made me like, here I am, a broken woman.
God
before you.
Damn, I love Northerners. They're so fucking unbothered by everything. I love them so much.
I thought you just ran around Manchester. I'm like,
just ran around Manchester.
Yeah,
so
funny. Yeah. And you have literally belittled.
How many marathons have you done? You've done more than one.
I know. Yeah.
Because you are like a proper runner, I know.
No,
that.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
You're hardcore.
We talked about this a long time ago because I was trying to do like the couch to 5K. Like, come on, chubby, you got this. And Esther's like, I can help you. And I'm like, girl, no way. Because she's going to be like,
no, I'm not. I honestly, I'm a terrible runner.
I don't believe
that. I run a lot, but I'm terrible. I'm not good at it.
It's a, no, I don't
what
believe
was your,
it.
What was your time at
you're like one of those fucking skinny models that are like, actually, I love pizza. Shut the fuck up. Like, you're such a liar.
But I'm not. My time. Well, my hamstring popped at mile 12, so I had to run 15 miles in total and
girl,
utter
quit.
Agony.
Like, lean into feminism and give up.
This is my feminism.
Oh my
I'm running
God.
Away.
Yeah, fair.
My time was 4 hours and 52 minutes
with a popped hamstring.
That is mad. Yeah. That is really impressive.
I could not do that fully equipped. Like, oh my God,
it was intense.
That's
it was
intense.
There's a hilarious photo.
Did you shit yourself in it? I heard a lot of people shit themselves in it.
No, I've literally just had this conversation today. I don't fully get the shitting thing.
There was like, literally that video of the woman who was like coming across the finish line, and there she's like, "Please don't film below my waist. I've just shit my pants." And she like has like a pooey bum.
Well, that's the whole point about my show Slag Bomb, is that there is absolutely zero, because I call it the, well, people call it the sandwich years, don't they? When you've got kids and you've got parents and you're just like, and it's just a sexless, undignified era of your life. There is nothing glamorous about it. And I think marathon running really, because they take loads of photos and they send it to you and you're like, that, like, even in my head, even the worst image I had in my head could not match to what was presented to me as, would you like to buy this?
So
as an image of yourself.
What's the big, like, is it, I know you guys get those fucking little medals that you all, like, or you just happen to wear around for the next couple of days. You're like, oh, this thing? Like,
yeah,
it's a lot of that.
Wear a lot. I was in so much pain that I couldn't even wear my medal.
Oh, my God.
There's too much weight on your neck.
I just felt anything that touched me, and people were going, do you want a paracetamol? And I was like, even the thought of a paracetamol, it will just vomit.
But then the problem is, you get to the finish line, and then you have to, like, go, like, you have to, like, take the, people taking the tube home and stuff. I'm like,
that's
what the
mad
fuck?
To me. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
can you be, like, medevaced to your house or something?
Well, when I did London Marathon, that was the, because Romesh was doing it. And
never heard
of
him.
Yeah, no one has. And he was like, oh, yeah, no, I'll get a, obviously, I'll be driven home.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've just got to go and get on the tube.
But that's like,
do you get you get free tube travel though, right, on the Devon London Marathon?
Everyone does though, don't they?
Oh really? Is it free for everyone?
Yeah,
that's
fucking
a fucking affront.
In yesterday,
it should be double for non-marathon runners.
I thought it was free. For
I
everyone,
tapped
so
in.
I tapped in.
It would be cool if they put the tap in the medal, so you can go around going boop. You're going to get it for your finish.
I love that. What's like? Do you want to do more? What's your dream marathon? Or is London is like one of the big ones? Have you done London?
London's amazing.
Why is it so? Is it just
because
the route you run is like incredible?
Even when I was doing Manchester, when I was in agony, and there are pockets where there's just no one around, and those pockets make you want to kill yourself.
Yeah, I was like,
I have to stop. Like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And then I turn a corner, and there'd be people cheering, and they see your name, and they chat. You know, shout your name or something encouraging, and the pain just goes down. So when you're doing London, that is just throughout. So you just don't feel it. You just feel like you're this amazing person.
Well, it was right. I didn't realize the route was right behind my house, and I was at like a mile marker, I guess. So there was like the big things, and there's music and people cheering. But what I thought was so funny afterwards is, like, you know, people get the big blow up like heads of somebody, like that they've put on a big foam board.
Yeah.
They were all just fucking binned and like just dumped on the ground and shit.
It's a little bit like the end of Edinburgh where you just see all your flyers on
just
the floor.
On the
and people are just like
over.
Stepping on like Sally's face, and she's gonna go back and work in HR and be like, hey, you guys, they ran the marathon. And I was like, shut up, Sally. No one gives a fuck anymore.
Yeah. People get annoyed all the way up to it and after it. So you only get kudos for it whilst people are watching you run it. That no one cares
There's
before,
no
one cares after. The second it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
What a
really
heartbreaking,
annoying.
Grueling thing to go through for no pre or post interest or excitement.
Yeah, girl, you're really pretty. You don't need to do all of that for attention. What's the point?
Well, you raised money. You raised money for Medical Aid Palestine.
I did. Oh, yeah. Thank you for sponsoring me.
Oh, you're very welcome. The donation link is still in Esther's bio.
I must have forgotten the link somewhere.
Don't worry.
But that's awesome. I didn't know you were doing that. I didn't know you could. Oh, so you like raise money and stuff. That's awesome. Okay, we love that.
That's why I was like, every time I thought I just got to quit this, I was like, no, because people have got it fucking worse. Pull shit together and get through it.
I really pulled a Cycling Michael holier than thou on you then. You were like, why are you doing this? I'm like, charity.
You'll find it's for a really great charity that's doing really cool shit. Well, fine.
Welcome to the show. It's very lovely to have you on. Now, this is sort of a newsy show. It's why it's called Pulse of the Nation. Are you a newsy person? You follow the news?
Well, it's kind of hard not to nowadays.
Yeah,
isn't
it's
you
in your face all the time.
Yeah.
But don't worry, it's not going to be like the hardcore, like depressing news that we constantly see.
100.
Yes, yeah. We got you in as analyst for the stock.
Excellent.
What do you think about the trades and the tariffs?
I wonder how much I could bullshit my way through that.
You could do it. Yeah, 100%. You could do it.
Yeah, let's try.
Okay. No, fear not. This is the
Are
sort
you still
of,
sore? Are you like still?
Oh, my legs fucked.
Oh my god!
I do apologise.
Thank you. Sorry to make you walk all the way up here.
No, it's fine.
Thank you. So we got some headlines that are like not headlines. They're like sort of bottom page corner of the Metro, page 57.
Amazing.
See if you can fill in the blanks for these headlines. We've been talking about Tube and we're talking about diddling. So this is a great place to start, I think. Tube passenger openly blanks on packed London Underground. So this is the headline for a tube passenger openly blanking.
So it's gonna be piss, wank, shits.
I bet it's piss or like rubs up. No. It's gonna be pisses
I think it's one word, isn't it?
Oh, it's two words. I will give that. Openly blank blank.
Sneak.
Or goes pee. Openly.
Goes pee. Openly goes pee.
Openly goes pee. Online. God, people are so fucking gross. I don't even know what this is, and I already hate this person.
Coughs? Openly coughs? That's horrible.
No, because everyone hacks. Everyone's so nasty right now.
Yeah, what would be notable is this is the other thing is like, because also like diddling and like sexual assault are horrible, as that is like not like.
Make sure you guys.
Hot take. Yeah. Hot take.
No, but I mean like, it's horrible that that won't make the news. Like, that won't be headline worthy. So have a think. That's what I'm trying to say.
Takes
shit.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty bad because everyone's done everything on the tube.
Yeah.
Tube passenger openly.
Proposes marriage.
That is horrible. That is worse
I would rather somebody take a shit on me than propose on the fucking tube.
There was a guy who proposed to his missus as she crossed the marathon line. I was like, I would be like...
Not the time, my man.
If you saw the state of what crawled the marathon line yesterday, I would just be like, oh, fuck, right off, as I'm crying and shitting and bleeding.
Oh, my God.
Had the man run the marathon?
No, she'd run the marathon, and as she crossed, she was like, ugh, and he just knelt before her.
And he's just like, let me take this moment away.
Yes, exactly.
100%.
Oh, it's like that viral video. Do you remember that video of the woman crossing the finish line and the dad
kids?
Sent the kids? Did you see this?
Do you think he sent like the kids to go get her, so she had to run the marathon, and she was kind of like trying to finish in her time, but like I think she was quite competitive too. And then the dad's like, oh, go get him, and everyone's like, all the people were like, he just did that to fucking block her and stop her, and this is like, does a mother's duty never end, and it's always, can't she have one thing for her? And then some people were like, oh my god, that's so cute. It was very like divisive.
Does
like,
a mother's duty never end?
That's the next
like,
title.
How far do I have to fucking run?
She ran 46 miles away from you fox, and you shoved them in her face. Jesus Christ, what is the thing, what's the headline?
Openly smokes crack on packed London Underground.
That's kind of fun.
Yes, a London Underground commute turned sour when a man suddenly pulled out drug paraphernalia. Two passengers could hardly believe their eyes. And then they, in this story, they gave a graph for the tube lines with the most offences. Which tube line do you think has
Central.
The most crimes?
I know for a fact it won't be the Elizabeth line because I think it's very, once you get on that line, because it's air conditioned, it's comfortable,
everyone's
it's clean.
More chill.
People are like, I'm not going to sexually assault anyone on here.
Yeah, also, Bakerloo, nobody takes the fucking Bakerloo. It's going to be Piccadilly or it's going to be Central because those run the latest and those also run like quite across the city into all areas. It's Piccadilly or Central.
Amazing. So I just want to pick up on the like, because it's air conditioned, they're not going to do any sexual assault. It's like,
no, but it's
what
weird.
Was she wearing? Was she in an air conditioned area?
No, but it's weird. You get onto like the Piccadilly. I've spoken to a few women. It's like, yeah, there is something that just makes you go, I just feel like everyone's a bit more. Everyone's just calmer on here.
Whereas
you get onto like you say, maybe it's nothing to do with the air conditioning. Maybe it's to do with the fact that it's so late and everyone's more drunk.
Yeah. Well, Central Line is up there. It's 1,419 offences. But actually, this... contrary to what you said, it is the Elizabeth line.
What?
1,435 offences. I wonder whether that's because just the breadth of the Elizabeth line encompasses so many more places and people.
Oh, do you know what? It's probably because people go out and get... Because I'm thinking, like, Elizabeth line just going London, central London. That'll be people...
You'll go all the way to Reading, yeah.
It goes all the way out to Essex, doesn't it?
Another thing is only because the Elizabeth line is the most, like, it has the most up-to-date tech on it, right? With cameras and recording.
Yeah,
so is it that
reporting.
It actually is happening, or the reporting is higher because they're monitoring it more? There's more cameras, more everything, because it's all newer. Whereas like Central Line, people are literally smoking crack and having a wank, and everyone's like, well, that's just fucking Cracky Joe. Like, who
that's
cares?
Cracky Joe. Cracky Joe was actually on the Victoria line, for reference.
He's my ex-boyfriend. Please don't talk about it.
Where do you think is the lowest? There was one tube line that only had three offences.
Baker-Loo or some shit like that, because no one fucking... Or Baker-Loo or like
Hammersmith and City.
No, Metropolitan.
No, I know. Waterloo.
Yeah. Bingo. Waterloo, yes. And City, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the bankers going back
goes
and forth.
One stop, yeah.
Just the three offences. So,
just
yeah, there you go. That's the safest you're
up. Just three bankers having a wank.
But if they actually checked for offences, it would be like cars packed full of guys with Patagonia vests and pockets full of coke. That's what
And financial crime, then Waterloo City.
But those are rich people, so we don't want to hurt them.
These statistics are essentially the statistics of crime across the board.
Yeah.
It's like the rich ones get away with it.
Yeah.
That's the truth of it. There we go.
We're only monitoring the poorer lines.
That's our second truth bomb of the episode. Wow. We're really like hitting
it
hard.
I can't say statistics.
We support,
yeah. We're here for you. You've run a marathon. You can get away with anything. The fact that you are here and existing and thriving, it's all good.
Yeah, girl, take a fucking day off. You know what I mean?
I know.
You don't need to do all of that. Like I said, you're like, you have really nice hair. You're really pretty.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I think you should just get a sugar daddy and call it, and like leave your family. I think you'd be really good. Like, your family sounds like a lot from your show description. So like, be one of those people that just like abandons their family and starts over.
I don't think I could be bothered with a sugar daddy.
No.
Could you be bothered with that?
No, you couldn't, because I've seen your face when people are talking to you and you look so disinterested. And I've seen it when you're just
I can't fake it.
But some people like that. Like some men like that sort of like degradation. Like, oh, please talk to me. And then they give you more and more money until you like look
their
way.
There's literally men who message me online to be like, can you just call me a piece of shit and I'll send you money?
Oh my God, do you have people asking to be your pay pigs?
Yeah.
Do you take it?
I cannot confirm or deny.
And do you donate it to charity? Or?
Oh, of course, yeah. I'm the charity. Charity starts at home with me.
Do they ask it? Because I've had people ask if they can be my pay pig.
Yeah.
And that's where you just financially...
You're
just
literally like, you're a fucking loser. Give me money, you fucking pathetic loser. And they're like, yes, madam. And they send it to you.
Don't imitate that again, because there'll be people getting off to this. You're giving out free stuff.
Follow
here.
Me on Instagram and message me if you want to be my pay pig.
We'll put
I've had somebody go, oh, can I be your pay pig? And then I'm like, you can donate to my Buy Me a Coffee fund.
Oh my God, you're such a loser. Take the money. God.
I don't know. I just feel bad.
This is why you're crawling across the finish line and I'm me and you're you.
I don't know. I panic.
I know, but it is. Yeah, it's fucking weird. And some of them, I'm like, most of them, okay, I've only done it with one. Mm-hmm. And it's not a lot of money, and only because he's like, whatever. But where I got a bunch of them messaging me, because I said this on Adam Rowe and Dan Nightingale's podcast, Have a Word. And then they're like, oh, be careful what you wish for. There's a lot of fucking dirt bags. And yeah, there were a lot of fat neck beards messaging me, be like, can I send you money? And like, but they were like, can you watch a video of me and then film yourself, like, commenting on how gross I am, what a loser I am? And then
what?
I got a bit like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Like, they have it's like humiliation kinks and stuff.
But
they love
why?
It. As men are fucked and they won't go to therapy.
Or is it like you want to be humiliated that way? I want to be humiliated by dragging myself across. So I can't judge.
Yeah. That's a humiliation kink too.
Yeah, that's a humiliation kink. Fine. So I've got my kink. Wow.
I mean, if you want to send me money, I'll call you a fucking dumb slut. Like,
no, I don't want someone to call me a dumb slut.
Oh, sorry.
What would you like people to call you?
I don't want people to call me nasty names. I just want to... I don't want any of it.
go back to the pretty. You're very pretty.
Okay, I have some messages I need to delete from a group chat right now.
I've never had like pay pigs, but I had a guy once message me being like, "What size shoe are you?" And like had like a foot fetish.
Did you do it?
No. Well, this is. I asked him. I actually got so offended. It's such an ego thing. He was like, "Oh, how did you find me?" Thinking like, "Oh, why did you pick me out of all people?" And he just went, "I just searched hashtag stand up comedy. I just like comedians' feet." I wasn't special at all. He just wanted feet of comedians.
Send them my way.
Yeah.
Well, at least he asked you. I haven't been asked about my feet.
Yeah.
I mean, well, check your message requests.
Would you do that?
I'm really waiting for a reply, Esther. Please get back to me.
Would you guys sell your underwear to an audience member?
Yes, depending on money. £500 plus, yeah.
£500, yeah. Love it.
Well, get in touch. Get in touch. If you want to buy any of our underwears, or
my underwear's so big, so I don't know. It's summertime. If anyone needs
pay
like
extra
a gazebo,
for the...
I am really into big, like. Big.
Well, I can't imagine why your husband doesn't want to fuck you.
On that beautiful note, you can follow Kate at underscore Kate Barron, Esther at Esther Benito, Slag Bomb Tour September through to February, at Fubar Radio for all your radio needs. I am at Stand Up Andrew. Thank you too to Cycling Mikey. He is at Cycling Mikey if you want to see all of his antics. And we'll see you next week. Thank you very much. Fubar Radio.